Hey everyone, how's it going? It's Louise here. Welcome to the Pricing for Beginners episode of the Designers After Hours podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm really glad that you're here. And I'm hoping that this episode is going to bring you some good basic info on how to start pricing yourself with your freelancing services, because it's a really tricky topic. I remember when I was at uni, it was one of those things that whenever we'd get a designer coming in to guest talk at a lecture, and often, you know, one of the questions that would come up at the end is, you know, how do you price yourself? How do we work out how much to charge for our freelance stuff? And I don't think I remember ever getting a straight answer. And that's not the speaker's fault at all. It's that it's a real damn tricky issue to talk about. There are so many variables, and I think we all just wanted a straight answer, and it was really tricky to get one. So I'm hopefully going to be able to give you closer to that in this episode. Not hopefully, no, I will. That's what we're here for. We're gonna give you some info on that. So it's not a magic bullet, so to speak, but what I'm going to give you is some guidelines and a formula that you can use to get yourself started. I guess the first thing I'll say is that it really is a work in progress. It's really about test and change. Put something out there, see how it's received, and then fix it up for next time. So that's the basic premise, but we'll go into a little bit more about that. Also going to cover working for free and my thoughts on that. Again, it's a bit of a grey area and everyone's got their own opinions, but I'm going to give you mine from a bit of experience. So let's jump in. Talking about how to actually price yourself. So the first thing I'm going to say is there's a bit of a difference between timesheeting yourself. So saying this job will do it on a timesheet for X amount per hour. At the end, we'll add up the hours and I'll invoice you on that. Versus saying this job is going to cost you X amount, and if you go over that scope of work, it's going to cost extra. So there's two ways of doing it, and I would suggest that you do a bit of both, and I'll go into that a little bit later. But at the beginning, the basis for both is an hourly rate. That's the first thing you're going to want to work out. Now, this of working out how much it costs to run your business every day and your studio every day and all your expenses and all that sort of thing and working it down to an hourly rate. Really, you just want to get kicking off. What I would suggest is whatever part-time job you're working at the moment, I would start with that at the absolute basic. Now, assuming that you're around that sort of early 20s age, you're probably earning, but it's going to be somewhere around the $20 to $30 mark an hour. That's roughly it, somewhere between $20 and $25 bucks an hour. I would start there. And I got news for you, that's real cheap. It really is. But you're at the very beginning and you want to start somewhere and you want to get experience, and the experience is more valuable than the money itself. But hey, you got to eat, right? And as I said, I'll go into that more with working for free, or not working for free, as it might be more aptly called. But start with a basic rate. Now, if you've done a bit of research and you reckon you can plump for a bit higher than that, then do that by all means. But that's a basic rate to start with. It's what you're getting in your other job. If your time is worth that in your part-time job that you haven't got your uni qualification for, you can at least charge that for what you are getting qualified in, okay? So I would say start with that. That's your basic rate. And then what you can do is say, this is my hourly rate, and and so you can say, well, I think this job is going to take 3 hours, or I don't know how long it's going to take because you haven't given me the scope yet, but let's just timesheet it as we go along. That's another option. Not an ideal option, but it's a way to do it. And then the other option is saying, okay, I'm pretty sure that I can do this logo design. There's a few elements. I reckon I can get it done in 10 hours. Okay, so you can say, all right, I charge $25 an hour. It's going to take me 10 hours to do it. So I'm going to charge you $250 for your logo design. And then you can say if you want extra rounds of revision or that sort of thing, it'll come at an extra cost. But it's a starting point. And as I said, it's low, but it's gonna get you started and it's gonna get you some jobs, okay? Now, once you've had your first couple of jobs based on that and you've done, you know, you've learned a few things from working for other people outside that uni brief situation, the next thing you're going to want to do is you're going to start looking at the work you want to do, ideally, whether it's full-time or part-time or whatever, but the kinds of jobs you want to work and the kinds of people you want to do that work for. So do you really love working with small businesses? Do you really love working with people in the music industry? Do you really like working with people who are into fashion? Are you interested in working for non-for-profits? Are you interested in kind of plumping yourself a bit higher for sort of bigger businesses that might have a different budget or a particular niche? Like, have a think about that. What would you like to do? And who would you like to do it for? Then this is where you've kind of got to do your own thing a little bit. Have a look around, whether that's on different portfolio websites, whether you find them through social media on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. You can use hashtags to try and find the stuff you're looking for, but have a look at the people who are doing the work you want to do. That's what you've got. You've got to find those people that are, and I'm not saying that in terms of that they're your competitors, but maybe think of them as your peers, right? These are the people who are doing what you want to do. You want to get to that stage, whatever that may be. And find out what they're charging and what they're providing. So you've got a sense of what you can work towards. Now, you might find that you want to offer really premium services to small businesses who've got a really good idea of what they want. They want the best, and that the people who are doing that are charging $150 an hour. Now, it's going to be a little bit tricky for you before you've graduated or in the year after you've graduated to be pumping out $150 an hour because you've got to have that reputation behind you. If you can handle it, let me know your secret because that would be great. But you can get there. You've just got to push for it. And that tends to be people who are making it their full-time gig. But it gives you what you need to work towards so you can set that goal and work with it. You might find that the going rate for the people that you want to work for is $50 an hour. At your level, you might find that standard sort of corporate pricing per hour is maybe $80. So find out what you want to do, who you want to do it for, who's doing that, and aim to work to what they're charging and what value they're providing and what services they're providing, and try and get yourself on that level. The other thing is it's way easier to start your prices low at the beginning and increase them as you get better, as you provide more value, as you become more experienced. It's way easier to explain to a client, I've upped my rates because what I'm providing is better. Now, you've got to do that within reason, okay? You don't want to jump from $20 an hour to $150 an hour in, you know, 2 months. Like it's, you know, with the same client, right? They're probably not going to be very receptive to that, but that's huge. But you can gradually increase your prices and say, hey, look, I'm now adding this value. Hey, look, this is what I can provide for you. That is now more valuable and that now costs more for you to get. Okay, now don't be a dick about it. Like, explain it politely. And if they are a good client, whether they can afford you or not is a different matter. But if they are a good client, they will respect that. And they will either say to you, okay, I understand, that's reasonable, let's go ahead. Or, okay, I understand, that's reasonable, unfortunately I can't afford it at the moment for whatever their reason is, but thanks so much and maybe we'll catch up sometime in the future. Never let people, if you're doing it reasonably, never let people guilt you into having put your prices up, okay? It's a red flag. This is business and this is just what's expected, okay? It's going to happen. Now, as I said, it's easier to increase your prices as you get more experienced compared to decreasing your prices. If you start too high and have to come down, it kind of gives this sense that you didn't really know what you were doing, or that you're a soft target who doesn't really believe in the value of what they're providing. It's one of the two, and neither of those is ideal, okay? It might happen, sure, you know, and you learn from your mistakes, but it's much easier to say I'm improving and improving my value and therefore charging more than being like, oh, actually, it was kind of wrong of me to charge you $200 an hour. Now I'm down to 50 or whatever. And there's ways you can decrease your rates. You can do something on mates rates. You can say, hey, looking at this particular situation, I'll throw in something, I'll give you a good deal, whatever. But it's so much easier to start low and build up because people understand that progression. So that's another thing to keep in mind. And every job is different. What you charge for one client, you can learn from that. And when you go to do the same kind of work for another client, you can put your prices up a little bit because you know how it went the first time, or you can keep them the same. It's entirely up to you. But just remember, you're not always doing the work for the one person. You can kind of work your way through it because, as I said at the start, this is sticky business and it's all about test and change. Test and change, test and change. That's the only way you're going to find what works for you because every client's different, every design is different, every job is different. So I think we've kind of covered that. The next thing I want to go into is working for free. Now, as I said at the beginning, lots of people have lots of different opinions about this. It's a massive grey area. What I'm going to tell you is just my view. You can agree with it, you can disagree with it, you can take parts of it. Whatever you want to do, it's up to you. But from my experience and what I've picked up on, this is my philosophy with working for free. And that is basically never do it. Never work for nothing. Okay, you might see a meme floating around the internet, you know, exposure doesn't put food on the table, right? If someone's saying, oh, look, now we can't pay you, but you're going to get great exposure from this project, I don't buy that at all. I don't buy that because there are too many people ripping other people off. And design is one of those industries that unfortunately is very quick to be undervalued. And I know I'm getting a little on the defensive here, but it's just something that I've found to be true. There are exceptions. There are times when you can, at your own discretion, decide based on the person that you're going to do the job for, their circumstance and how well you know them in that context, and the in-depth nature of the job or whether it's a quick and simple job, okay? So there is a grey area, and I'll give you a bit of a personal story of where, despite me saying basically never do it, when I did do it and how that went very well for me. So my personal experience with that was I had been volunteering at a non-for-profit organisation and had been involved with that organisation for around 10 years. It was a long-standing relationship. I had just graduated and they basically said to me that they had a small certificate that needed to be designed and would I be up for helping them? They said, look, we don't have a budget for it and we totally understand and won't be offended if you don't want to take it up, but if you could help us out, that'd be legendary. And so I thought, you know what, I've known these people forever. It's a quick job. It's a cause I believe in. So sure, I did that. And they were really happy with the result and it all worked really well. So what came from that was that then the main person, the woman that I'd been dealing with, and for many years I'd known her with that certificate project, then threw my hat in the ring to a job that was needed by another similar non-for-profit in the same kind of sector, animal welfare, and they had some work coming up that they needed a designer to work on, and so she put my name out there and suggested, hey, maybe Lou could do that for you. And long story short, I then got paid work with them, and that has gone on to more work in that similar industry that has been really enjoyable and really valuable experience for me. So made a judgment call and it turned out well. So for that very small little little give of doing a little something for free in a context that I was comfortable with, it paid off. It really did. And to be honest, even if it hadn't have gone that way, I would have still been happy to have done that for them. So I guess that's a personal story about when working for free did go well for me, but I haven't done it since. Now, what I do is trade and contra. Absolutely. If you can give me a product or a service to the value of what I can give you, absolutely. Absolutely. I do that now and I fully support doing that. You can't do everything on contra because girls got to eat. But if a cash economy doesn't work for that client and you're really passionate about what they do, get them to pay you back in kind in one way or another. It's a totally acceptable way to do it. Again, it's all based on context, but I really would encourage you not to do a logo branding project for free. Don't publish a magazine for free. Don't do a whole bunch of ads for someone for free. Like, you know, there are people out there, like I know, for example, if any of you guys have heard of Gary Vee, Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, he's all about work for free, hustle, get the exposure, get the experience. And he has a point. He really does. And it's got to be what you feel comfortable with. I personally don't think it's a great idea. The other thing that I want to talk to you about too, the circumstances where it might seem appropriate to work for free, but you might want to think twice. Now, that's for friends and that's for charities and non-for-profits. So one thing I'm just going to say on doing design work for a charity is to just do a little bit of homework, okay? Full disclosure, I volunteer regularly. I'm a massive supporter of non-for-profits, social enterprises, charities. They're my clients of choice, basically. I love them. And I love the fact that they do good work in the world, and that's what makes me feel really fulfilled to work with them. The only thing I would just suggest is that non-for-profits are not always completely broke. I'm not saying they're loaded, but all I'm saying is I do work for non-for-profit and social enterprise and those kinds of companies, and I get paid for it, okay? I don't charge them through the ceiling for it, but I do get paid for it, okay? So I just want you to be mindful that if a charity comes to you and says, we have no money to do this, you need to do it for us for free, by all means accept that if you want to, but just be mindful. Just be mindful that that there are charities and there are charities. And for example, the advertising and marketing and media and design budgets of Oxfam and World Vision and Amnesty International, and you know, they're very big, they're very professional, and yes, they're charities and they're doing great work, but they're certainly not completely skint where they're relying 100% on volunteers. These are charities that do pay people to do their work, you know. So the CEO of Oxfam gets paid. The CEO of Amnesty International gets paid. The people in their marketing departments get paid. The people in their accounting teams get paid. Okay, they have the means to pay people to do work for them while still doing their charitable work. So there are those charities, and then there is your soup kitchen up the road in Carlton or St Kilda or whatever that is literally run on the smell of an oily rag by 100% volunteer work, with a sprinkle of the funding that they can get. And those people, I would be more inclined to, if you are going to donate your time and services for free, I'd be doing it to those people, doing it for those people, sorry. Use your best judgment, because a charity can still run as a business. So just keep that in mind. Please do work and do voluntary work for charities. Use your skills for good. Please do it, okay? But just don't, you know, don't take it all at face value. Just have a think before you agree. The other thing is when you're looking at doing work for friends, okay? Again, this is, so both of these topics, the not-for-profit and the friends, kind of combine to my story, which I mentioned earlier. But in terms of doing something for a friend, again, it's about the scope of the project. If someone says, hey, I've got a birthday party coming up, can you quickly whip up an invitation for me? And you've known them since you were 4 years old, and you'll be probably doing the speech at that birthday party, and feel free to pop something together for them as a mate, you know. But if a friend comes to you with a business and says, hey, I've just started my own personal training business and I need a logo and a website and stuff for my social media, you're my friend. Can you do that for me for free? I'd really question that, okay? Because what they're saying to you is, I need something for my business that's going to bring me value, but I'm not valuing your skill, okay? Now, they may be doing that subconsciously and, you know, it doesn't make them a bad person, but what I would encourage you to do is say, hey, look, you know, I'd love to work on this for you. This is what I do for a living. It's what I'm qualified in. I'm pretty damn good at it. And if it's going to bring you value in your business, you know, I think there should be some compensation for it. Now, that's a very quick version of that conversation, and it's a very direct version of that conversation. You want to make sure that you don't, you know, disrupt your friendships there. I understand that, but just keep that in mind, okay? Because if they're a true friend, I personally think that they will value your expertise and your service and want you to eat too. That's what it comes down to. So again, in terms of like volunteer work and working for friends or family, the one person I would say who gets a free pass is probably mum, because, you know, mums are pretty great. So that's the only exception I would say. She gets free design work forever, basically. but yeah, just a couple of things to keep in mind with friends and with voluntary work. By all means, do that stuff for free if you want to, but just keep a heads up, okay? So that's pretty much my thoughts on working for free. I would make it contra or trade or use it at your own discretion for small jobs. The one thing I've got to mention, and I will cover this more, is even if you're doing a job for free, make sure you still put a contract forward. Okay, even if it's a super basic one, have that in writing. I cannot stress it enough, okay? Because things do go wrong. I hate to say that to you with people you trust and friends and family, but man, all you have to do is watch a couple of episodes of Judge Judy and you can be assured that the situations that seem so watertight, sometimes it just doesn't work that way. So get that in writing so that you don't get screwed over and this job that you're doing for free doesn't turn into an enormous thing that you just did not prepare for, okay? So I'll talk about that more another time, but just please put stuff in writing, no matter whether you're doing trade or contra or free, whatever you choose to do, just please get it in writing. That's my one little homework takeaway for you all that I need you to do. So moving on from that, I just want to wrap up really quickly with a little bit about invoicing because it's on the topic of being paid and it's a pretty quick topic. So for you all in the show notes, there is going to be a link to a template, the invoice template that I use that you can modify for yourself. It's just an Excel document. You can probably open that in like OpenOffice or Google Docs if you don't for some reason have Microsoft. But just so that you've got a template to work with, because some of you I know will have never looked at an invoice before and you'll be able to see what's listed there. The one thing that's really worth mentioning about invoicing in Australia and for small business, as small as you guys, is GST. That's a tricky one, right? Because you're like, wow, that's an extra 10% and what do I do with it and all that sort of stuff. So long story short, at your stage as a small freelancer, you don't have to have GST. You don't have to register for GST and use GST, okay? And I'll just give you a little bit of like the boundaries on that. So according to the ATO website, so that's www.ato.gov.au, which is the Australian Tax Office website, in terms of registering for GST, if you're in a business and that annual business income is 75 grand or more every year, or you think it will be, or more than 150 if you're registered for a non-for-profit, that's when you would need to register for GST, basically. Okay, and I'm, you know, I love you all and I hope you do mad well with all your design skills, but if you're listening to this podcast, you're at the very beginning of your journey and I'm surprised if you're going to be churning out over 75 grand from that service. The other two things just to keep in mind with GST is if you want to claim fuel tax credits or if you want to be a taxi business, don't know why you're on this podcast, but hey, maybe you're multitasking, running a design studio and a taxi service all at once. I don't know, but you do you. So basically, if you don't fall into those categories, you don't need to register for GST. Okay. Now, if you're not having GST in your service, you do need to put something in your invoice. And my template includes this, but it basically just means you have to state at the bottom of your invoice, no GST has been charged. You just pop that in as a little line down the bottom, make it nice and clear, and all of your invoices will sail through the accounts department and be paid as quickly as possible. Hooray for getting paid. Yes, it's a good thing. There's a few other things that you're going to want to have on there, but basically if you follow that template, you'll be pretty much set. So now you know how to charge for what you do, how to find a rate and get paid for the fantastic work you do, which is the bottom line of running a business, whether it's a freelance one on the side or something more permanent. So that's it for today. I know that's been a fair bit of information and me chatting on, but hopefully there's been some informative stuff in there that you may or may not have heard before through uni. As always, any questions, please hit me up. There's a link below. I'm doing this for you guys. I really want to help you. So if there's something that I can answer for you, I am so happy to do that. If you've got any questions or if you've got any comments, you know, please, I'm totally keen to hear that as well. I'd be really interested if you're keen to let me know what you thought of this episode, if it was helpful to you, if so, why, and if there's someone who you think would really, get some value from this episode, please share it with them. And, it just makes, you know, another person a little wiser, which is always a good position to be in. So, thanks very much for listening to the end of this. Again, really appreciate you being here. And I hope you have a great time till you tune in next. Keep doing what you do and keep those design skills coming along and working out how you can turn that into a career and a passion that you love. So thanks for tuning in and I will catch you next time. All right, see you guys later. Bye.